This is Elliot Gould, and you're listening to KPFK, 90.7 FM in Los Angeles and 98.7 FM in Santa Barbara.
Cue the conga playing penguins.
Live at you.
For real, for real.
Oh, yeah.
The program's about to begin.
Radio.
Radio.
For the people.
Radio. Radio. Come on.
The Mojo
Hour of Power.
Radio.
We fire it.
For the people.
Hey, I'm Jeff Curtis, KPFK 90.7 FM, the Pocho Hour of Power at 3 o'clock on a sunny, beautiful California afternoon. What's going on, people?
What is happening, Jeffrey? And it's always good to know that you know the time and the weather every time we start the show.
Come on, man. Who else is going to do that?
You own it, brother. You own it. How you doing, man?
I'm doing good. What's up, Lalo?
Lalo in the casa, where is his disembodied voice?
No, man. Hey, it was a great week, man. I got my name on the Comedy Store wall, baby.
I saw that, man. That's very impressive. And you know what? You didn't even have to bring your own Sharpie.
Come on, man. I tried, but they go, look, let us do it for you. But yeah, man, no, they gave me a great spot right on the patio, right over the bar, right under Jimmy Walker over top, and Paul Mooney to the right and Richard Pryor to the left.
Wow. You're in good company, man.
That's so cool, Jeff. Congratulations.
Thank you, brother. I appreciate you, Lalo.
Sorry, I had a little technical difficulty in that I was late.
Hey, it's all right.
Yeah, no, it's good, and again, congratulations, man! What an achievement! I'm glad they recognize you, and I didn't see all the other night. I did see J.J. Walker. I thought that's cool, man.
I thought they're gonna put me on the little wall by the parking lot with the new guys, and
you park cars.
Yep, the guy said. No, they told me to give you a good spot. I said, well, thank you.
That's great.
Yeah, so it was an awesome day. They had a whole thing for it, and I went up for the first time in years at the Comedy Store on Monday night, so it was awesome. I had a lot of feelings coming back from that room. That's the room that Paul saw me and took me on tour.
Wow, that's great.
Yeah, how you doing?
Is that also the room that you saw the ghost?
No, that's in the main room.
Oh.
No, that was Halloween night in the main room. And my manager and myself, we were sitting, the shows were done. And we were sitting in the booth and we heard a noise. And I looked to the right, stage right, and I see over the piano this guy in a zoot suit looking at us, floating over the piano. And I look at the manager. I said, do you see what I see? She said, yes. So we got up and we start slowly walking towards the back to the back door, and the goat just kind of turned his head and watched us. And when we hit that back door, we was gone.
I love that story.
Oh my God! Yes, they have ghosts at the cops. When it was Zyros, I guess it was a gangster hangout.
Yeah.
Oh wow.
Yeah, it's crazy, man. Ooh, I got the chills right now.
What color was the suit, or was he translucent?
It was kind of translucent. I think it was like a blackish, right? But it was a zoot suit, and he was just looking at it. He had a hat on, right? He had on one of them brim hats, and was just looking at us.
Was he a white ghost?
I don't know. Yeah, it had to be because, you know, if it was a black or brown ghost, you do know we would be showing up whipping certain people's behinds. That's why you will never see Sammy Davis come back.
Oh, man, man, I love that. That's a cool L.A. story right there, man.
Oh, man.
I love that. Oof. But I don't want to see him.
No, you don't want to see, but I'll tell you what, man, when they had that major earthquake, right, and all the buildings and freeways were collapsing and all that, in the comedy store we walked in, one glass broke. That was it. That was it. I mean, them ghosts was protecting the
comedy. Those ghosts were holding up all the glasses.
They sure did. And the alcohol.
They're like, this is our job.
That's right. When something's going to get destroyed, we doing that.
Yeah. Damn.
Crazy, man.
Well, I was just trying to figure out if it was a racist ghost.
I know. Well, if it was, he would have said something.
You didn't have to say it. You got out.
Yeah, you know how them racist ghosts are. They can't be quiet.
You heard them loud and clear.
Yeah, some of them can't even wait to die to put on the white sheet.
Come on now. You know, it's funny. I used to, when I grew up, I was such a weird kid. I used to like to watch The Three Stooges because it was white-on-white crime. I was like, what? I'm like, hit him again. What you doing? Hey.
That is one of my new favorite categories online of people sharing videos.
Oh, white-on-white crime.
I started watching. We talked about Godfrey, right?
Uh-huh.
He does the Leave Black People Alone videos. Hilarious. Right. And he just relishes the violence. It's really great. And I mean, violence is bad, but and then there's the new category is the white on white.
Oh, my God. And they always weigh like 250 pounds, right? They're never always these big
teenagers.
It's crazy.
Oh my gosh. Well, we've got an amazing show. I don't know if it's going to be live up to this intro, but we do have our friends, Patricia Guadalupe, Russ Contreras. We've got, you guys have a guest over there, yeah? Or is it next week?
Oh, mine's next week, yeah.
Well, something to look forward to.
Yeah, JD, he had a show on, he had a show he created on ABC. He's a show, great guy, comedian.
Oh, right on.
Yeah.
And then we're going to have producer Gary Baca on to so that I don't screw up his promos. So but that's cool with me, cuz I don't want to mess him up. But next week is Fun Drive. We put the fun in Fun Drive.
That sounds exciting.
Get ready for that. Ooh, gird your loins, everybody.
Come on. And we got that hit group Motif is going to be on later, right?
There you go.
Right? Motif.
Motif. That's what I forgot. Motif. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's why you go to the dentist.
For Motif. Yes, people, that's the kind of show it's going to be today, right there.
Uh-oh. I think it's time to strike up the band.
Dad puns, dad jokes.
Hail to Patricia, Patricia Guadalupe, Ocho correspondent from Washington, D.C. Hail to Patricia, she comes to spread the cheese. She comes with all the gossip, she's here to spill the tea. Yes.
Hello, hello, hello.
Patricia.
I've been listening to you folks, and it's funny and ridiculous at the same time, and that's why I needed to start with the most ridiculous thing to come out of DC.
How can you top?
I know, right?
Which one are you trying to top? Because there's a bunch of things to top.
How do you qualify that?
But believe me, you're going to think this is really ridiculous on top of everything else. I just want to say hello to everybody out there. And here it is. The president, your favorite guy, Donald Trump, is imposing or says he's going to impose tariffs on Canada because it's their fault that the East Coast is going through all of this hazy weather from the wildfires in Canada.
I'm not making
this up. It is right. A little hazy if you go outside in D.C., New York, all the way over to Michigan and Chicago. It smells like burning rubber. It's very hazy. It's really hot. And a lot of it, of course, has to do with these wildfires in Ontario, Canada. And Trump said just a little while ago that he's going to talk about imposing some tariffs because Canada, and this is a direct quote, is willfully sending the smoke over to D.C. from the wildfires.
So what's he going to tariff? The smoke? I mean, what's he tariffing?
Well, I guess he's going to tariff, you know, maybe Canadian beer and wine or, you know.
That's burning up? I mean, what's he going to
tariff? Yeah, or maybe, I don't know, Canadian cigarettes. I mean, something related to smoke. I mean,
For a minute, I thought you were going to say that Lindsey Graham appeared in the Zoot Suit.
Hilarious.
And, you know. And that's the other thing, too, about this particular, situation here in Washington where you have everybody was sort of on Mitch McConnell watch. And then lo and behold, on Sunday early morning, like around 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning on Eastern time, a flash that Lindsey Graham had died. And it was from a tear in his aorta, which, is unless you're on the operating table, they really can't fix that. And here's the thing about that particular thing. His sister, Darlene Graham, was sworn in almost 24, not even 48 hours after he died. He was still sworn in to replace him. And you know how long it took for Adelita Grijalva to get sworn in when her father passed away as the representative in Arizona? 50 days. 50 yeah. days. Wow. So, and now Trump has endorsed Darlene Graham to run for his seat. You know, his seat was up. He was up for re-election. So he's got a primary coming up. And so his term, Graham's term ends in January, and she hasn't said if she's going to run for his seat or not. But I mean, talk about a DEI nepo kind of You know, she has no legislative experience whatsoever. That hasn't stopped a bunch of people.
She did confirm that she also likes men.
Well, West Hollywood so upset they were flooded with tears yesterday.
Oh no!
Well, I heard that Grindr has their flags on half mast, so you know
they named the sinkhole after Lindsay.
You know, so right.
I'm sorry. Can I say I was at a graduation party, college graduation party for one of our friends on Saturday night, and one of my friends is political. Whips out his phone and he goes, "Oh my God, Kelsey Grammer died." I'm like, "What? Oh no, I mean Lindsey Graham."
Wait, what? That's crazy.
Oh my God. One would be a horrible tragedy, but the other one would be like, okay, I mean, you know, it really doesn't change the makeup of the Senate right now because South Carolina is a pretty safe red state for folks, but the Democrats are looking at it and saying, you know what, maybe, you know, this is our chance, you know. And if she decides to run, I mean, it's not like people are clamoring for her, but the primary, he was expected to win the primary he's been in the Senate and before that in the House of Representatives for a long time. But meanwhile, Mitch McConnell posted, or his staff did, a photo of him sitting up in this hospital bed with his wife by his side. And people were saying, you know, what's really strange about this particular photo is that he's wearing the exact shirt, the exact pants that he wore in the exact position in sitting on a beach chair from 3 years ago. So, you know, and he said, or his staff said, he's not quite ready to come back to the Senate yet. You know, it's an incredible type of place where you can disappear for months on end and still get paid. And no, you know, there are no consequences to it. You know, it's one of those great places if you're lucky enough to get into the Congress where there's really nothing, you know, no consequence to anything. So that, you know, between the ridiculousness of the wildfires and then Lindsey Graham passing, and they're going to have a memorial service for him at the Capitol next week. And then your favorite president was on TV last night, although it depends on where you were watching it, if you watched it, because most of the networks didn't carry it, where he went on this rant about how the Chinese were involved in election fraud in 2020, and that's why he didn't win, even though, you know, the claims of election fraud in 2020 have been debunked over and over and over and over again. But he continues to claim that he didn't win because of fraud, although any other Republican that was on that ticket in 2020 won. And he never talks about the 2016 election where there was clear interference from Russia and in his favor. So,
yeah.
He even begged them to interfere on his behalf.
Pretty much. Pretty much.
He was on television saying, Russia, if you want to help me out.
Pretty much. and you know, the whole thing with Hillary Clinton, and there's 33,000 emails and all of that. Everybody remembers that particular election as quite fraught with all kinds of allegations and evidence that there was interference. But he's stuck on this whole 2020 thing. And anybody who says, oh, well, he's just being a crank. No, this is all about the midterms, folks. This is all about the presidential election in 2028. He's trying to foment in people's minds that, we're going to have fraud. And so I'm just letting you know that, you know, maybe you might want to stay home and maybe you might want to not mail in your ballots, you know, all of that. Right. To increase the insecurity that
he's trying to do anything that sticks, because isn't he also on this kick about communism and
that's the new thing. We're back into the 1950s where the communists are taking over, and then he's got his water boy, Secretary of State Marco Rubio, on this rant about far left extremist radicals.
Right. You know, how many conspiracy theories is he gonna keep throwing out there to try to, you know,
It's all about the communists and the socialists. And the funniest thing is that they conflagrate them, the communist socialist people. I mean, you know, make up your mind. You can't be a communist and a socialist at the same time, people, you know. But this is all about trying to tell people, or not even trying, but being very blatant about how there's going to be a lot of fraud. There's a lot of fraud. We already figured out that there's 250,000 ballots that were fraudulent, which is absolutely not true. And you have the Homeland Secretary, the guy with the two first names, Mark Wayne Mullen, saying, you know, if states don't cooperate and turn over the voter list, we're going to impose all kinds of fines. You know, they're trying to scare people into, you know, either not going out or going along with whatever the White House wants. And you know, his approval ratings are on basically, you know, underwater. His disapproval ratings is almost 70% at this point, which is pretty high. And, you know, it's just a pretext. It's all a pretext to try and you know, give people the impression that, well, if the Republicans lose in the midterms and in 2028, it was all fraudulent. There have been more than 60 legal cases about the 2020 election, and every single time the Trump people have lost, every single time. There's no evidence about that. You know, so it's basically been a very bizarre week with, you know, Blame Canada, which is actually a pretty funny movie if you haven't seen it. It's
Yeah, well, they can't have a backyard barbecue and not invite us.
Yeah, right. I mean, you know, we're the meth lab that lives under a really beautiful penthouse. That's basically what you can describe the U.S. right now, with Canada looking at. I mean, it got to the point. There's a bridge in Michigan, right in Detroit, called the Gordie Howe Bridge. It was named after a very famous hockey player for the Detroit Red Wings. It was built in, it was about to be open, and the owner of another bridge near there is a friend of Trump, and he told Trump, you need to delay the opening of this bridge because I'm gonna lose all this money, blah, blah, blah. And so Trump tried to stop the opening of that particular bridge. And Canada basically said, you know what? We're the ones that put all the money on this bridge. We're the ones that paid for it. We're going to open it on July 27th. So Canada's basically been a really nice friend dealing with an incredible bully. And now for them to say, for the White House to say that Canada is purposely setting fires to send pollution to the United States is beyond ridiculous. But you know, this is the White House. This is the type of White House that says all kinds of ridiculous stuff, and you have all these people going in there and believing everything that he says, including, you know, Secretary Rubio. So, and if you remember, Marco Rubio and Lindsey Graham were two people who were big critics of Trump. And Lindsey Graham, especially, if he wins the election, this country is going to go to hell, is basically what he said. and then he turned around and became his good friend, you know. So it's a very bizarre time.
Does anybody know if Canada has like a fire mascot, like Smokey the Beaver or something like that?
Oh my God, they
probably do. You know, maybe some, you know, maybe it's the beaver that's playing hockey over there or something, you know. I mean, the only thing I don't like about Canada is their bacon, but everything else is really good. So, you know, that Canadian bacon just doesn't make any sense. I'm sorry about that, but
you know. It's ham, right?
Yeah. So if you're going to impose a tariff on something Canadian, let's do it on Canadian bacon, you know, but everything else, their beer and all the other stuff is, and the people are really nice. And so for him to say something so utterly ridiculous as Canada's purposely setting their forests on fires and sending pollution our way.
Yeah.
Is absolutely ridiculous. So,
hey Lalo, they do. It's Ember, the fire smart fox.
There you go.
Really long title for firefighting.
Canada's safety mascot is Ember, the fire smart fox.
Oh, Ember.
Yes.
Because Amber sounds like trouble.
We're not talking about your college girlfriends there. You know?
Oh, dang. At least it was,
hey, man,
college.
It was a nice truck stop.
so that's basically what's been going on over here, and we've got next week they're going to come back for some sort of budget meetings on the federal budget. But I mean, summertime in DC used to be pretty quiet as far as Congress was concerned, but ever since this White House came into being, it's just been one nonstop ridiculousness after another. Because remember, the reflecting pool is that whole saga is still going on. They decided to drain it again, if you remember, was full of algae, and they found a bunch of tire tracks on the bottom of it. And apparently that happened when that motorcade of the White House motorcade decided to drive over the reflecting pool when the cement wasn't totally set before they filled it with water, kind of like a triumphant pass through the reflecting pool. And that's apparently what has damaged the reflecting pool. So we're going into almost $20 million to fix something that wasn't broken in the first place. And now they have to fix it because, you know, all of those cracks have nothing to do with people vandalizing anything. And even though the D.C., the U.S. Attorney for D.C. says that they're going to continue with the prosecution of these people that say that they say vandalized the reflecting pool, which is utter nonsense. So you're basically keeping lawyers very busy. That's what this administration does.
And Trump is like blaming everyone else for that LG, but he's the one who decided to ghost ride his whip right through there and have his own Washington D.C. sideshow.
Yeah, and fortunately,
like the youngins.
Yeah, and fortunately for, you know, people here have a sense of humor. So you go down to the reflecting pool and there's people with signs, make algae great again, or team algae, you know.
Well, actually, it's the only swamp he managed to actually drain.
Yeah, and that, you know, he can't even win the algae war. I mean, all of that. So. and of course, the one thing that's still continuing is the whole situation with the country of Iran, that you know, they're looking at that, and they're still spending all of this money over there with a ceasefire that doesn't quite seem to happen, because the White House says one thing, the Iranian government says a whole nother thing, and it's just become a ridiculous situation, extremely expensive. And of course, people have lost their lives there. So, but of course, now the Trump has put his attention into going over to the World Cup final in New Jersey, New York. I mean, this is the MetLife Stadium, but they're calling it the New York, New Jersey Stadium, where Argentina is going to play against Spain for the whole kit and caboodle. And a lot of folks are saying, we hope that Spain wins because Argentina has been way too friendly with Trump, and he's the one who's going to give the cup to the winner. And so the Spanish government has not been friends with Trump for the longest time.
Oh, yeah, he's been very angry with them. He's like,
yeah. Yeah, and so, you know, and the Spanish government is very sarcastic about their relationship with him. And so people are kind of pulling for Spain, partly too because Messi and his team in Miami, you know, he plays in Miami, went to the White House a couple of years ago, and you see Messi kind of smiling and laughing with him. And a lot of people were like, well, don't worry, he's not really a Trump fan. He just doesn't know any English, and he was just going along. So
he knew what's going on. Look, at Argentina, they're one of the most racist teams out there, man.
Yeah,
their fans are racist. And then you got Spain that were colonizers. So I don't know who to root for.
Yeah, that's a rough one. Patricia, there was, I don't know if you know, Adolfo Guzman López.
Uh-huh.
From NPR and other you know, places, but he did an article for a post for a reporter for LAist, and about the backlash from, you know, some Argentinians that are like, hey, okay, guys, that's enough. We're not that racist, you know.
Well,
just a little bit racist.
We're just a little bit, you know, because, you know, their former president said Brazil came from monkeys. Somebody else came from some other place in Argentina. We came off of the ships. We came from Europe.
That's the least sympathetic article I've ever read.
They hit a lot of the Nazis that they hit out after the war.
Right. And their fans.
That's why.
And their fans just got banned for harassing and calling this influencer Speed the N-word that they had hired to work for them. And they just got banned for life.
Yeah, yep. And there was, and some of the players and FIFA, if you believe them, because FIFA also stands for Fix It for Argentina.
Oh yeah, yeah, I ain't gonna lie.
They unfurled a really big flag. It wasn't really a flag. It was more like a banner. But it looked like a king size bed sheet that, in Spanish, it said the Falklands belong to Argentina. Because of course, you know, they were playing England and won, and so FIFA was looking into fining them, maybe, possibly, probably no, you know, with the FIFA president, you know, Mr. Conehead over there, saying, well, we're really going to look into that because we don't know. But a lot of people are saying, you know, that this whole World Cup has been rife with all kinds of corruption, and the tickets for Sunday's game, even in the nosebleed section, are $8,000 per person.
So, oh my god!
Yeah,
damn.
So wow. And you know that security is going to be really tight and stuff. So people are saying maybe the Trump curse, since he wants Argentina to win, that'll help, because as we all know, if you've been following the World Cup a little bit, he called the president of FIFA to look over one of the red cards against the U.S. team at the time. So it'll be really interesting to see. But I don't know anybody from Latin America except people from Argentina who are supporting Argentina. Everyone else is supporting Spain. So
Trump.
Yeah,
Trump
I think everybody likes the current version of Spain better than the classic.
Yeah,
Spain.
Well, I posted on Facebook that the team on Sunday are going to be, it's the team that speaks really snobby Spanish against the team that speaks snobby Spanish but is laughed at it for it. You know.
Oh man, that is just wild, Patricia. I just don't know why people can't realize, you know, sports and politics, it's always gonna be in the mix, you know.
Oh yeah, yeah. I mean, you know, there is a bit of a resurgence of, you know, interest of in soccer here in the U.S., but the NFL is still number one. Basketball is still number two, and it's the kind of tied between soccer and baseball as far as the fans are concerned. But this is really the only sport that is really truly worldwide, because, you know, when people say the World Series in baseball, yeah, there are teams from Japan and Canada, and that's about it, you know. So this is a little bit different, but I think maybe if the U.S. had gotten a little bit further along and tickets weren't so ridiculous. But one funny thing about this whole World Cup thing is that even for people who don't speak a word of English or Spanish, rather, they're tuning into the Spanish broadcast in droves because the announcers are just more exciting. And the FIFA people have made a really good marketing decisions by including, you know, Owen Wilson and a few other well-known actors in some of their commercials to get people to tune in, to the chagrin of Fox, you know, which is carrying the English ones. And if you tune into the English coverage, it sounds like a golf game. So you can just imagine there's nothing exciting about that. And Spanish has, of course, the real famous Andres Cantor, who, the goal guy, who's crying and laughing and flipping out, and that's hilarious to watch.
Well, it never gets. Oh!
Hey, I tell you what, though, I got a new favorite player. That's what, Mbappe? Is that how you say his name?
Mbappe, the French guy.
That guy. Let me tell you something. They be hitting him in the back of the head and punching him in the face, and no foul. I'm like, what's a foul?
And you know what a member of Congress from Paraguay was saying? Oh, he's not even French, even though he was born and raised in France. But of course, this goes back to that whole racist kind of nonsense. And even the former Spanish prime minister said, well, you know, nobody on the team in France is French. which is interesting because the former king and queen of Spain were not born in Spain, you know, so, you know, Greece and Italy. So the current Spanish government apologized on behalf of the Spanish people. But, you know, there's just a tremendous amount of racism in these things where the youngest player in the World Cup plays for Spain and he happens to be black, an 18-year-old kid born and raised in Barcelona, Spain. And, you know, he's been thoroughly embraced by the Spanish people and, of course, by the team. But you have a lot of people still, oh, he just doesn't look Spanish. Oh, my God. But a really interesting thing about that kid is when he was part of a UNICEF PR promotion about 20 years ago, when not even 20 years, when he was like 6 months old, with Messi, when Messi was obviously a much younger guy. And they did a promotion with Messi and this little baby from Spain in a UNICEF promo. And so now you have this kid who is now facing his the guy who gave him a bath when he was 6 months old, which is hilarious, you know.
Man, that is an amazing story. Patricia, thank you for this great roundup of what's happening on the planet and even DC. But we appreciate you. We'll see you next time on the Pocho Hour Power.
Yeah, we'll see what happens this coming week. Hopefully no one else will drop dead that we didn't expect that was going to drop dead. So we'll see.
Right on.
All right. Talk to you guys later.
Thank you. Bye, Patricia. Hey, and let's go to a short break. And also, Speedy Gonzalez Sports Report. And we'll be right back with Motif.
For KPFK, this is Charlie Gonzalez. The 2026 FIFA World Cup Final will feature Spain going up against Lionel Messi and Argentina, who are chasing their second consecutive World Cup title. The match starts at noon on Fox. The MLB All-Star break has wrapped up, with the Dodgers sitting pretty with the best record in baseball by 1.5 games. They begin a 9-game road trip this afternoon with Game 1 of a 3-game set against the Yankees. The featured pitching matchup pits Roki Sasaki against Garrett Cole. Edwin Diaz's return is nearing, with him being sent on a rehab assignment to the ACL Dodgers on Tuesday. The Los Angeles Sparks are in the Windy City today for a matchup with the Chicago Sky at 4:30 on ION. This has been Charlie Gonzalez with your KPFK high-speed sports update.
Hi, this is Lonnie Jordan from the band War, and you're listening to the Pocho Hour of Power. I still hold you in my
arms. Oh yeah, it's the Pocho Hour Power, KPFK 90.7. I'm Jeff Keller.
I'm Lalo Caras, and I think I'm about to reproduce.
That's right, Jeffrey. And Stefan Zul is right here in his ghostly fashion. Too bad I can't make it to the studio today.
Yeah, man, but you know that music right there? That's Motif.
There you go.
We got Motif on the line. How you doing, man?
I'm doing great, man. How's everybody doing?
Hey, it's a beautiful day in L.A., man, so we doing great.
That's amazing, man. I'm glad to hear that, man. I'm happy to be here, too.
Yeah, man, Motif, man. I mean, you a Grammy Award winning, I mean, record producer. I mean, dude, what you got going on with your bad self?
Listen, man, sometimes, you know, when you do great things, you got to step out and bet on yourself. And that's this next step that I've taken to lead me here to L.A. to perform for, you know, for you guys tomorrow night. You know, I'm really excited, man.
That's awesome. Where are you going to be at?
I'm actually going to be at Hello Stranger tomorrow night and Little Tokyo performing live with the Temperies tomorrow.
Oh, that should be awesome, man. What time does the show start?
Yeah, so the show starts at 8. Doors open at 8. And the Temperies will open the show. They go on around 9:30. And then I'll go on right after them, around 10.
Okay. And tell our audience, man, give a background of what you've done and accomplished for people that don't know.
Yeah, man. It varies. So, like, I run a production company called The Rucker Collective, and I also run a label called Holy Grail Records, which is actually presenting Memoirs of Love and sponsoring the release show. That is a company that I do own. And we do a lot of re-release work, and then we work with a lot of producers who sample the work that we re-release and create from scratch. And then, you know, ends up on albums. We get nominated for Grammys. We work with Drake, J. Cole, Don Toliver, Ronald Isley, Roy Ayers. The list goes on and on. And, yeah, man, I've been doing this for 15 years. Thank God. It's been my career, and I'm so thankful.
So you've done some things, brother. You work with the legend Ron Isley. Come on now.
Come on, man. That's a dream come true.
How was it working with Ron?
Oh, man, it was dope. So they actually we had to do a song for the Atlanta documentary along with 2 Chainz. And the song that we used for the record was one of the records that we re-released under Holy Grail Records. It was actually called Truth and Devotion, which is a gospel album. And that was the sample that they used for the Ronald Isley and 2 Chainz track titled Atlanta. And the song actually came out last year. And then I think Jermaine Dupri was narrating the documentary also. I don't think it came out yet, to my knowledge. But that was like the single to like build anticipation for the documentary.
Oh, my God. That's amazing. I mean, to work with somebody like Ron Isley. And who's one of your favorites that you worked with that was really cool and you didn't think it was going to be like that?
I had to say, I think the Timbaland. I did a couple sessions with Timbaland in Miami, and he's like an uncle, man. He shows me so much love. He gives me so much advice and game, and I'm so grateful to have him in my corner, man. Shout out to Timbaland.
Yeah, you know, and that's the thing, right? We got to have mentors, right, to really make it in this business.
Yeah, man, it's really important, man. I'm grateful for all my mentors, and I pass it along, too. I mentor people also, you know, so I'm passing along doing the same thing as I go up in my journey as well.
Now, how was it to win a Grammy, though? How was that?
Man, it's crazy, man. When you sometimes see, like, you know, somebody like, oh, what is that like? And it's like, man, like, you dream of what you think is going to feel like. And then when it actually happens, it's almost surreal. You know, it's like it don't hit you until, you know, a couple months after. And then you're like, I won a Grammy. You know, you work, you know what I'm saying? You work so hard for that. And then when you get it, you're almost like, wow, like it took me. You don't know what it's going to be. So the album that I got nominated for and won a Grammy was Lecrae Church Clothes 3, I believe. Uh-huh. And one of my signees that signed to the Rucker Collective, the company, he actually produced that record. And he was one of the producers that we mentored and had under our wing for a couple years. And then he ended up winning a Grammy, and then he ended up producing Drake's single Nokia last year. So, you know, God is good.
Wow, that's always amazing, right? When something happens. Now, after you guys won the Grammy, did people look at you different, or did things start coming in? I like. You know, on a small scale for me, like I just
got.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, man. You know, definitely a lot more work came in. You know, obviously the notoriety and the credibility of, you know, winning a Grammy, which is every musician's goal if they want to make it in the business of the music industry, is to be acknowledged by the Recording Academy, of course. And I'm even grateful to be nominated, you know, 4 times.
Wow.
You know? Yeah, man, and win one, just to say I've won and been nominated multiple times is a blessing. And, you know, I never know what's going to be nominated, but I'm just grateful that if I am on an album and it does get nominated, I'm happy, you know? It's hard to even get nominated, let alone win. You know what I'm saying?
Hey,
Yeah, man.
Go ahead, Lalo.
Oh, we'd love to hear some, we'd love to hear a song. Let's hear some music from Motif Alumni. Sorry.
Yes, sir.
I still cry for you.
You know, that's got that dramatics, Shy Lights type feel to it. I love that.
Yeah, man.
Doesn't it? Is that what you were shooting for?
Yeah, man, because, like, you know, I felt like, you know, I feel like that sound ain't really prominent right now. I felt like I was the one to do it. That's the style of music I love. Like, I wasn't trying to make no upbeat records. I wanted to make ballads. I love ballads. That's who I am, so... I'm bringing back the ballads, and, you know, those be the hits. That's what they want to hear anyway. I feel like the ballads are the best.
Oh, definitely, man. I agree with that.
It feels like a really constructed, beautiful song. And, you know, at first I was feeling amorous, but now I'm just want to go cry in the corner.
You know, hey, Lalo, you know your elbows went up and your pinky finger went out.
I'm gonna drive over to Santa Fe Springs right now and go get a michelada. And
I was getting in touch with my inner cholo.
Dude, oh man, who were you idols when you're growing up?
Man, growing up, I mean, I listened to a lot of things growing up. You know, like my parents didn't really play oldies, but I listened to a lot of 80s funk, R&B, boogie, 90s gospel and all that stuff. And then when I started making beats and getting into production, a little before that, I got infatuated by, you know, soul music through Kanye West and Ninth Wonder and them sampling those records.
Right.
So that's what led me to dive into that world of soul and Gambling Huff and Teddy Pendergrass.
Come on now.
Smokey Robinson and David Ruffin, Eddie Kendricks, you know, William Hart, rest in peace.
Come on, Smokey, you know, Robinson, come on now.
Smoke, come on, man. Like, we could go on all day. So I'm just trying to, you know, fill a void, man. That's all I'm trying to do, man. I'm just trying
the
to
motif, like, after this, I mean, obviously you're pushing this and you've worked on this work right here. What do you see going on with you in the next coming up years, man?
Man, we just going to be touring, performing around the world, man. You know, I got a lot of music in the catalog ready to go. I got everything everyone's asking for, waiting. I'm just pushing these songs right now, making sure everyone hears them. And then in a year's time, I'll probably have a new single ready or another album ready for everyone. And hopefully we could go on tour with this album, man. So that's the goal right now. Yeah. You know, we're doing these shows and getting the conversation started to get booked on these festivals, man. So that's my prayer for this run.
Oh, no, I love it. Now, where you at again tonight?
Yeah, tomorrow, Saturday.
Oh, tomorrow,
July 18th, I'll be at Hello Stranger in Little Tokyo. So the tickets are $25 online. If you go to eventbrite.com, you'll see Motif Alumni Memoirs of Love album release party featuring the Tempreeze. And you can actually purchase the online tickets for $25. And we have discounted merch packages. So you can either buy a ticket for a discounted price with a vinyl or a CD. And then tickets are $30 at the door if you don't grab your tickets beforehand.
That's cool. And the address is 320 East 2nd Street, Los Angeles. And be there by 9, God dang it.
Yes, sir.
Wow, well, yeah, this would have been one of the best musical segments we've had in a long time. This is great, man.
Wow. Yeah. I appreciate that, guys. Really, really appreciate the love.
Oh, definitely, man. I mean, hey, this was a surprise right here. This guy, I'm like, oh, my God, this is amazing.
It's like we're in a wormhole to the 50s and 60s, man. It's nice.
Yeah.
We're time traveling here on the Pocho Hour of Power. Also, inner choloing.
I'm about to jump in my lowrider and pretend like it still has an engine.
Getting that 65. Right. Getting that 65 Impala. Come on.
Well, thank you, Motita alumni. Tomorrow at Hello Stranger Bar, 320 East 2nd Street, Little Tokyo, 9 o'clock with the Tim Priest. Thank you for being on the Pocho Hour Power, brother.
Hey, man, thanks for having me, man. I really appreciate it. Hope you guys have a well, wonderful weekend, and I hope to see you guys at the show tomorrow night.
Definitely. Woo. Thank you, man.
All right, brother. Hey, let's play the theme song for our next segment, which is Russell Contreras with Axios. Or the Tempest.
It's Russell Contreras reporting from Axios. It's Russell Contreras.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about, Russell.
Russell.
I was grooming to my inner cholo, too, and just remembering all the cholas I try to axe out it and give long-distance dedications. And all the cholos were like, I like you because you like listening class. And sometimes you're like looking at a book and you're like reading. So I had a really good thing for cholas, and I would try to impress them. But I didn't have the lowrider and didn't have the muscles, so it's very triggering for me. So thank you guys.
Oh, man. What's going on in Axios land, Russell?
Well, a lot of news there. As you know, the president spoke last night about his allegations about elections. But one of the things I was looking at this week is I started to do a story and taking a deep dive. Have you guys heard of communities called heritage communities? Heritage.
Yeah.
What is that?
These are areas in Arkansas, Missouri, and parts of Appalachia that are trying to be designed as all white. There's a group called Return to the Land. They have purchased land, and they're saying they want to create what they call, quote unquote, European heritage communities, where if you want to live there, you have to apply. And then there's a committee that looks at your application. If you are white and you agree to their beliefs, then you can then get a plot of land. They can sell you a plot of land.
Wow.
The white reservation.
Does this include like the forced labor part of it too?
It does not. So you go in, they really want trad wives. They want people who believe in their particular ideology. The person who is starting it says that he is not a white supremacist. He's a white egalitarian, I think he calls himself.
Egalitarian?
And for the past 3 years, they've kind of gone on unnoticed, unchallenged, with the Trump administration not enforcing civil rights or not looking into civil rights or reinterpreting civil rights as laws that should be looked at if they discriminate against white Americans. These groups are kind of operating without any pushback from state or federal officials.
Did they get this idea from Disneyland's Frontierland?
I don't know. I think they got their idea because Lalo tried to start a commune out in Coachella Valley. He wanted to create an all Chola place, but it just didn't take off because, you know, Cholas need investments.
That's called Woody. I remember it's called Fooland.
Fooland, yeah. See, that's my Disneyland right there, right? So in all seriousness, there are the groups that started these things, they finally faced a lawsuit when a Christian woman who has Jewish ancestry applied to live at these places, one of these places, and she admitted that she was married to a black man and she has biracial children. Well, of course, they denied her application, and she's suing, and this should be a challenge. Now, legal experts say that the Federal Housing Act and a law in 1866 prohibits discrimination based on race or religion, and therefore this case should be tossed out, even in a Supreme Court that is conservative leaning, because many of them are textualists. They look at the law in a very textual way, not sexual law, but textual. And they look at it, and it probably will stay face a stiff challenge. But that's the deal. They, as they're building these communities, they're popping up, and they're very open on social media, where the founder says he's trying to create something like a Hitler 2.0.
What?
And that Hitler's not going to come from the clouds, and therefore people need to organize this and do the work themselves. These are actual quotes.
This sounds egalitarian, heavy on the Aryan, is what it sounds like. But Russell, we have about 1 minute. I'm sorry. What else you got from Axios Land? And how can people catch up on what's going on with Axios?
Go to axios.com/newsletters. Get the newsletter from Mike Allen, AM, PM, every day in your box for free. Lastly, I'm looking into the growing number of people who are religious nuns, N-O-N-E-S. We've talked about it before. Guess who's driving it? Young Latinos. They are leaving the Catholic Church at high numbers. Just a few 10 years ago, 67% of Latinos identify as Catholics. Now it's under 50%. Latino Protestants are staying steady, about 20%. But Latino Gen Xers are leaving the church. We'll talk about that next time here on the Pocho Hour Power. Ahoy!
You mean the Nun podcast is not keeping them?
It's not. In fact, not only that, Santa Muerta is not even keeping them. And I thought that's what they were going to go to, because I actually got my saint right here, just in case I get stopped by the cops. That kind of freaks them out and they leave.
Well, Russell Contreras, thank you so much for joining us, our man in New Mexico, and from Axios.com. We'll see you next time on the Pocho Hour Power.
We'll see you next time.
Ahoy. Thank you, brother.
Ahoy. And now we're joined by our producer 5G,
hey.
Gary Baca.
Hey, what's happening, folks? Hey, just want to let some shows out, let you know what's happening Friday tonight, July 17th, grand performances tonight with Todos Sumos Sagrados. It's Flor y Canto with Ray Rodriguez and Friends, Poets and Music, featuring Nancy Sanchez and her mariachi band, Las Chorizeras.
Las Chorizeras.
From 6 to 9 p.m. tonight. So you can catch that today. Go straight there. Also tonight, Omar Sosa, Cuban pianist, tonight at Catalina's Bar and Grill in Hollywood. That's an 8:30 show. And then, of course, this Saturday, tomorrow, Motif alumni, soul singer, producer, will be at the Hollywood over there at the Hello Stranger Bar. That's 320 East 2nd Street in Los Angeles. And also on Saturday, tomorrow, The Whispers with Atlantic Star at the Saban Theater in Beverly Hills. And The Flows, former ladies of the Supremes, featuring Sherry Payne, will be at Catalina's tomorrow as well, July 18th, Catalina's Bar and Grill in Hollywood. Poncho Sanchez, Latin jazz percussionist, will be at the Canyon Club in Agora Hills also on Saturday, July 18th. And that's it, folks. I'm Gary Baca.
Oh, you're still Gary Baca. That's great, man. Gary, thank you so much for joining us on the Pocho Hour of Power. And I want to thank everybody, man. I want to thank Motif alumni. I want to thank Patricia Guadalupe, Russell Contreras. I want to thank all you listeners. I want to thank Esteban Zuhl and Jeffrey Keller.
I want to thank you, Lalo, and I'll be at the Comedy Chateau on Saturday, 8 o'clock, so come check out my stuff.
Woo! Go there and then go party with Motif. And everybody have a great weekend. I'll be reporting from Comic-Con next week, San Diego Comic-Con International. Maybe if I can find a quiet space away from the my fellow nerds.
Yeah. Producer Gary Baca out.
Will Gear Theatricum Botanicum returns this June 6th through October 4th with outdoor repertory theater, events, and educational programs for all ages. A Midsummer Night's Dream is back, alongside Romeo and Juliet, Treasure Island, Noel Coward's Waiting in the Wings, and Bernardo Cubría's dark and incisive new comedy, The People of Pompeii, set in